And you just came through this, the rain getting here, and wasn't it lovely, the green grass? It's getting greener and greener. Isn't that lovely? Oh, thank God. So I have this confession I need to make to all of you, and I know we're not Catholic, but here we go. In your study for today, my week was such a great week, I went ahead and jumped to next week's Sunday school lesson. So if you're in your book today, we are going to be going to the lesson that says, Our Refuge and Strength. So it's the one for next week, and we'll do this week's lesson next week. Praise God. Thank you so much, Brother Perkins, for that. So when I was telling Aaron, I went back there to give him my scriptures, and he goes, oh, I have different scriptures. And I said, oh, what date do you have? And he says, when things like this happen, they're supposed to happen. So I'm just going to say, Lord, you know, and thank you so much. So today we're going to go to the scriptures in the next lesson for our refuge and strength. And we're going to look to God today as our refuge and strength. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray before we start. Thank you. Praise God. We just thank you for your word. We just praise you for your goodness, for everything you're going to do today, Lord, through your spirit, Lord. Touch each heart, touch each mind, Lord. Just minister to us and speak to us through your word today. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' precious name, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Our primary scripture today is going to be Psalms 46. And this is where God tells us how he is our refuge and a very present help in times of trouble. And we can have confidence as his children that God will fight our battles. And he is for us, praise God. And he is fighting for us. If you believe that today, I'm so thankful, praise God. And I had a couple questions today. Who in your family, and I asked my family, who in your family is your tower of strength? My husband said, I am. I am, he said. We love that he is, and we all chuckled, but we agree. And then I thought, what is the worst natural disaster that you've ever lived through in your life? And some of us have lived through some natural disasters. And I thought, could it have been an earthquake? A tornado for any of us? A hurricane, possibly? A flood? We had the fires here a few years ago that were pretty horrific. I even thought of a volcanic eruption, depending on where you live, right? I remember years ago my mom telling about the Alaska earthquake in 1964. And were any of you here in 1964 to feel that earthquake?
I was in South East.
Yes. And my mom was in Prince Rupert, and she said that the water, she was standing by the ocean, and she said the water just literally, like a bathtub would drain, it went out, and then it came back, and it came back just as fast as it went out, and that was the 1964 earthquake here. And so did the same thing happen in that, with the channel there? It's amazing, yeah. That earthquake in 1964 here, it lasted 4 minutes and 38 seconds. And you know, we've been in some earthquakes here where they last, what, less than a minute, and we're like, imagine 4 minutes and 38 seconds. It doesn't sound like very long, you know, on a time clock, but when you're living through that, that is a long time. Because across central Alaska, that magnitude of 9.2, it still remains the most powerful earthquake recorded in North American history and the second most powerful earthquake recorded in world history. And it had 600 miles of fault erupted all at once, and it moved things like 60 feet, which is amazing. There was soil liquefaction, there were fissures, landslides, and there were all of these other fractures in our, what we considered our natural, normal life way of living. They had septic systems, ruined houses, cement, all the roads were pushed up. You've seen the pictures in Anchorage, how things were just destroyed, the highways. And in that historical reports show that 115 people in Alaska died, and estimated about 40 to 50 went to the hospital for severe injuries. And that was just, I mean, not just, but that was an earthquake we had here in Alaska, and which is pretty significant when you think about it. And I was thinking of that eruption in 1980, and I seen it on the news first. It was the Mount St. Helens eruption. Some of you may have had family that were living close to that that mountain. And it still remains the deadliest and most destructive volcanic event in U.S. history. That mountain erupted after being shaken by a 5.1 earthquake. And as the ash rose up into the sky and drifted downward, it basically turned what was a beautiful day, or a day with light, into darkness with the ash. And people, 57 people were killed in that eruption, and primarily from the ash, and they breathed in that hot, hot air. And I asked my husband, I said, do you remember a very serious volcano eruption in 79 AD? And because I like history. He goes, no. I said, remember Pompeii? Pompeii, it was famous because it was destroyed in 79 AD, but that Mount Vesuvius, when it erupted, it had 19 feet of ash that covered that city. And when that city was quickly covered in this burial, centuries later, we have been able to go back and see. People have been able to look at the bodies and actually see what kind of life they had, or physical abnormalities, or what their diet, how they ate, how it affected their life and their body. Pretty amazing. We are going to look at Psalms 46 today. We can see, and in the psalm where it's written, this the psalmist is writing about things that could happen in the earth, like natural disasters and the mountains being swallowed up by the seas. And we think, okay, yeah, you know, it sounds like a nice poem. The mountain, you know, the mountains being swallowed up by the seas. But things have happened in our earth that are huge. And I love it because right at the very beginning, it just declares, God is our refuge and strength. And it tells you right at the very onset that God is our refuge and strength. And it goes on to say some things that can happen and have happened in this world. But through it all, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know what, church? God is our Christian refuge, and He is our Christian strength. When you cannot see what tomorrow is going to hold, and you've got maybe someone sick in your family, in your acquaintances, and they've had a bad report, and you just think, what can we do? What can happen next? God is next. He is the one that we can turn to, and we can cry out to Him, and He hears our cries, and He answers our prayers. Thank God. I remember when Kevin was first born, and he had some respiratory issues. So we weren't even allowed to pretty much hold him for, I'm going to guess 10 hours in this little tent. And you know what, as a new parent, a new excited parent, you're like, man, I can't even hold my baby. What's going to happen? You know what? Pray, call out to the Lord. And you know what? He gives such a peace that no nice nurse can do that, give you a nice peace. God can give you a really, just an inner peace to know that, you know what, it is all good. It's in my hands. I've got this. And He's the one that we flee to so that we can feel secure and we can feel safe. And that's what this world, it just kills that feeling of safety and security. And Satan wants you to feel like you have no security. You have no safety. I'm going to make you anxious. I'm going to make you fearful. And that's what the devil does. And he does that to the saints of God if we'll let him. But praise God, Psalms 46 says, you know what? He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. When we are in distress, man, He is our help. Thank God. He is a very present help. That means He is there when we need it. When we need it the most, He is there. He is sufficient. And we couldn't ever ask for better help. We could call, you know, call a friend, that hotline, whatever you want to call. We could never ask for a better friend, a better source of anything than our Lord. Praise God. There is not a person that can do what our God can do. Not a person, not a relative, nobody. God is our strength. God is our help. He is sufficient to us. And this Psalms, thank God, it just begins with such provision, provision. I remember years ago, and we're going through the Psalm, I remember years ago, our home flooded, and I'm going to say it was like 1978, 79, so much rain. We lived by a mountain. The whole area just flooded. And it was just sadness for my mom and my stepdad. You know, you work hard to build your life up. You will work hard, and my stepdad was he was a worker. They worked and worked, and just to see the sadness and the tears, and we had just had a new batch of puppies, thank God. They were in a little box, and when we went in by a rowboat, my mom and I went in together, and the couch was floating, and the mama dog had taken the puppies up on the couch, and the puppies were on the couch with the mama, and the couch was floating. And I was like, oh, the babies. But they were all fine. You know what? But it was sad. It was just to see everything swallowed up with the water and just the loss of it. So I have no baby pictures, but what I got from my grandmother, because everything was lost. The water destroyed it. For the child of God, when disasters come, and they will come, He has promised us that He will be our refuge and our strength. And that's where it falls on us, to allow ourselves to trust Him no matter what, because He will be that refuge to us if we will just let Him be God, and let us say yes, yea, and amen. Praise God. That we can have this confidence, we can have this absolute confidence that God has got this. Amen. Can you say that this morning with me? God has got this. Praise God. He's got this. And you found it to be true. You're here today. I know you found it to be true. Thank you, Lord, for being our refuge and our strength. Verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That's why I wanted to share that little bit of history that we've lived through, some of us, because things do happen as natural disasters. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, verse 3, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, praise God, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, the church, praise God. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. How fearful must that have been for the psalmist to think that the mountains could be possibly swallowed up into the sea. But scripture says, therefore will not we fear. Wow. So it just starts with this huge confidence in God in the very start. God is our refuge and our strength, and that we need not fear. We won't be afraid because we have a steadfast confidence in God, because God is always on time. He's not always on our time and in our mind's time, but He's on time, and He is an on-time God, and He does good things. Praise God. God, thank you so much that you help us when we most need it. Isn't it great? Even when we don't think we need it, He helps us. He's so good. I like this scripture, verse 5, it says, at the break of day, basically. So typically, when attacks would happen in war for cities, it would likely be launched in the early mornings. And God helps us when we most need it. For this case here, in early mornings. One of my favorite scriptures in Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise God. You believe that this morning, that that is our God. We don't have to fear. Things are going to come into our lives, and they're going to possibly distress us. What does the scripture say? Be not dismayed. Praise God. He is our help. So when the enemy of our souls, and we have an enemy of our soul, when he starts breathing threatenings to you like he did to Paul, we have a God who is with us, and he is for us. Praise God. He's more powerful than anything that we could ever imagine, anything that man has ever made, whether it's even nuclear. God is more powerful than any of those things. My husband sent a video, and it's called Earth Observatory, and it was on, you should post it on Facebook, honey. It was just a kind of a gray cloud in the sky, and there was water, and it was unbelievable. All of a sudden, it didn't have any prelude, like it was just going to start raining. It was like a tap opened from the sky, and it just went like down, and this water, this massive amount of water just literally fell from the sky. It was like opening up, and it was amazing to see. And as soon as I said it, I said, that's God, my kids, my children. Didn't I, Aaron? I said, it was a group text. I said, that's the Lord, kids, because God can do things. And when he does it, it happens quickly, and he has all power, and he's able to do all things. We just, in our Christian walks, if we could just, Lord, help us to get that in our spirit, that God is, he is all powerful. He can do all things in his time, and he does it great. Praise God. He's our help. So when the enemy of our soul is breathing threatenings against us, we have God with us. Verse 6 says, the heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Verse 10. One of the most quoted scripture in the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Praise God. Man, how many times have we quoted that scripture? So many times. And isn't it nice to have it in context from the very beginning? God is our refuge and strength, and just telling us why, and then going down just to this huge punchline. I've got this from Sister Sharon on my fridge, this be still and know that I am God scripture. Praise God. I love that. Praise God. Because verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Praise God. One of the commentaries, a writer named John Trapp writes, and he's writing about Luther. Luther, when he was in his greatest distress, was wont to call for this Psalms 46 to be read. And he said, let's sing the Psalm 46 in concert. And then this is what he said, and let the devil do his worst. Woo! I'm going, what faith did he have? I was like, whoa. You know what? All creatures, when they're in distress, they run for refuge. Animals do that to preserve themselves, to keep themselves. So do the saints of God. When we are in distress, we run to the Almighty. There's no waiting. When animals, when the fearful thing is upon them and something's going to eat them, a predator, they don't just wait around and like, let me think, I'm going to build my faith up. No, it's instinctual. For us as Christians, it must be instinctual. Lord, I run to you. Praise God. So whether you're facing a storm now, and we all face storms because we will face storms because we live in this natural life, we can find an answer in Psalm 46. For this situation, whatever storm it is, whatever life distress or life has brought you, there's an answer here. Because this psalm encourages us to have hope and trust in God. So it kind of just tells us that some things we just need to do. Hope and trust in God. Trust in his power. Wow, trust in his providence. We can apply this to our spiritual enemies. We can have confidence in God. Then we're going to go to a few Old Testament scriptures, and we're going to talk about King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. And Hezekiah had gone through some storms. And I know sometimes I'm just going to give you a little reminder of Hezekiah in the Old Testament. And I can imagine how difficult it was for him to watch his father, King Ahaz, live a life so contrary to God, so contrary to the things of God. And this is what it says. You can turn to 2 Chronicles 28. I'm going to read in the NIV verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles 28, 1 and 2. Ahaz, this was Hezekiah's father, was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and also made cast idols for worshiping the Baals. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom and sacrificed his sons in the fire, following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. Pretty bleak picture of a person. God's city, Jerusalem, didn't look like God's city and the ones that worship the one true God anymore when Ahaz was king. Ahaz was wicked, and he disobeyed God. He disobeyed God's laws, and he started following false gods. And he started encouraging the people to follow false gods. And that's what they did. They closed the doors to the temple where God's people were supposed to worship the one true God. Ahaz allowed altars to be built on every street corner in Jerusalem where people would bow down and worship false gods. So just imagine the spiritual darkness that was there, what heaviness these people were living under. And then just imagine his son Hezekiah one day would step into being the king when his father was gone, and he watched these practices that his father did, and they were detestable. And it was repulsion to God. It was evil. It was disobedience to the Lord. And what it brought, it didn't just affect him. It brought judgment to all of Judah. That's the thing, people. Our sin doesn't just affect us. It affects our nation. It affects our family. It affects our church. They had no church. There was no church. It was gone bye-bye. And I can imagine when Ahaz was buried and Hezekiah became the next to rule in Judah, unlike his father, thank God, Hezekiah walked with God and trusted him. Hezekiah, I bet he had the most difficult job because he did something. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles 29, 1 and 3, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It said that Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. In his first month of reign, right? You know, it seemed, I can imagine, my husband has a like for the show Hoarders. So I can imagine in that first month, he cleaned the temple of all the trashy idols and false gods. How many dumpster barrels of trash they had to take out of the house of God, the temple. And they cleaned up the street corners where he had set up false idol worship for the people. It's at this time when Hezekiah took over being king, it seemed like everything was just right. It was just good. He was like, I want everyone to serve God, and I want this place to be a place where the true worshipers can worship. He cut down the idols. He restored the worship. And maybe he thought that this righteous devotion would keep him and his people away from the hands of the enemy. And for many years, this was the case. But in the 14th year of his reign, there was a terrible report that came to him that the Assyrians had invaded and wanted to destroy Jerusalem. And of course, he's a godly man. He's thinking, well, how can this be? He began to experience the fact that, you know what, pure devotion doesn't mean that we're just purely free of trouble. We're going to have trouble. He too was about to experience what we have experienced in Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And that's what he was about to experience. At this time in history, God allowed the enemies to attack both the northern and southern kingdoms because of their sin and idolatry. God allowed it. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. The northern kingdom would not listen and they would not turn away from their sin. So while Hezekiah was reigning from about 715 BC to 685 BC, there was a king in the northern kingdom. His name was Sennacherib, king, and he was going to attack them. Well, Hezekiah tried everything he could to prevent this invasion. He even paid off the king to say, don't come. We'll give you money, basically. Don't come and attack us. But he still was coming to attack them. Hezekiah wanted everybody in Jerusalem to follow God. So he had tore down those idols. He broke the bronze snake into pieces that the people, they could no longer worship it. Cleared out all the idols, the junk. However, this is just sad. And this is just human nature. The people continued to turn away from God. And God allowed the Assyrians to destroy part of the northern country, basically, and take captives. And this is when I think it's really fitting and beautiful to see just that Hezekiah was just a normal guy. Then Hezekiah prayed. He prayed. He prayed to the one true living God. Let's go to 2 Kings 18, and I'm going to read in the New International Version, 18, 4 through 6, 2 Kings. 2 Kings 18, 4 through 6. This is Hezekiah. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. Yuck. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, and there was no one like him, Hezekiah, among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He was a man who trusted God. He had this deep, deep embedded trust and faith in God. And he also did everything that he could to prevent any attacks from the Assyrians. Some of the things that I thought were really interesting is that he cut off the water supplies outside the city so that it would deny the Assyrians easy source of water. You know, if they were to take the city and that could sustain them, the water source. He did everything. He repaired the city wall where it had been broken. He built towers on the wall so his soldiers could attack and defend. Then he even added another entire wall while repairing the military weapons and shield. He added another entire wall. He was serious about nothing. The enemy will not penetrate. This is God's land. This is God's city. It was not going to happen. He did everything that he could. And then he had this undying faith in God. Once he had done everything he could do to fortify the city, he prayed, and he prayed to God. And he had asked God, and King Hezekiah prayed, and he said, Jehovah, save us so that everyone will know that you are the only true God. When we have Isaiah, the prophet, told Hezekiah that the Lord would answer his prayer, isn't it great how God speaks to the prophet, then tells the one who just prayed that, you know, God's got this. He's going to take care of you. You're going to be fine. And Sennacherib was defeated. The angel of the Lord wiped out his army Sennacherib ended up being murdered later by his own people. God sent his angel to the Assyrians, and that day, 185,000 of them died. King Sennacherib had lost in that attack his mightiest soldiers, and he had no choice but to turn around and tuck tail and run, right? God had protected Hezekiah and Jerusalem just as he promised. We can learn some things from this story about how Hezekiah acted. He remained steadfast to God. Things came against him, and it looked pretty bleak, like this could be the end of the city. He was faithful to God in a very stressful time. God, help us to be faithful to him in those stressful times in our lives. They're going to come. If you haven't experienced them yet, they're coming. And when they do come, because we're not told we're just going to have a stress-free life, they're going to come. And we can trust God. And what that's going to do, saints, is you're going to see that God fought my battle. I made it through. When the next battle comes, you are even stronger and mightier than you ever thought you were. And the next battle comes, you just keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Praise God. This story really makes King Hezekiah, in my eyes, appear real. He knew the dangers approaching. He did everything in his power to help the situation. And then he asked the Almighty God to sustain and help and keep the city. 2 Chronicles 31:20 says, "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God." And that's the English Standard Version. His life was such a contrast to his father, where his father was just wicked and his father was evil and promoted adultery for worshiping these false gods, and the people just weren't able even to worship the one true God in the temple because he had just made it a place of false god worship. But Hezekiah, his name means God has strengthened. Praise God. We can find strength, not only strength and promises, when we read stories like this. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, "Thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Does that remind you of a little story about a little guy with his stones that defeated a giant? You know what? Isn't there a beautiful theme throughout the whole scripture from Genesis to Revelation? God is still fighting our battles. He's still fighting for us. He is still our refuge and strength. Oh, help us to turn to you, Lord. Romans 15:4, Paul says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Praise God for all of you Bible readers. I know we're halfway through the year, and if you slipped off the wagon for reading, you can jump back on. And I encourage you to. I think that this church, and I come Sunday morning, and I teach and preach at other locations like Heritage Place, and I never really get too nervous. You guys, because I know you guys have such a grounding in the Word of God, I'm ever so careful because I know you are learned people. You study the Word of God, and you read the Word of God. And I think we're just going to get stronger as a church by just reading the Word of God. And I don't say just. I think if we can all pattern and read the Word of God every day, the Word of God, God's Word in us every day, we're going to be so much greater as a church for our community and our families. Praise God. Paul added in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, he says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." God will help us fight our battles. The psalmist said, and encourages us, and it was like a proclamation of God's greatness. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In trouble. We're not promised to have no trouble. We're promised that God will always be with us in our trouble. Amen? In light of all of this promises that God is fighting for us, the psalmist said at the very end of that chapter 46, he said, to be still and know that I am God. Wow. Wow. You know, all of that, in that evening or that morning when you are in distress and you're thinking, how can this ever work out for good? How will I ever get through this? Be still and know that I am God, because he is with you. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you lies. The lies that you may try to believe that will help, that will just tear down your faith. Because we, as Pentecostals, we want to just, if we can fortify, and like Hezekiah did the city, we need to fortify our strength in God, our faith in God, and not allow the enemy of our soul, the devil, to come in and try to take our faith, our trust, our hope. And in response to God and his word for Hezekiah, it says in 2 Kings 19, 6 and 7, it says, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the kings of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. God had just given promises. I am with you. Be still and know that I am God. What God is telling us, be still and know that I am God. The most faithful will fall into times of doubt. It happens. You know what? And almost given to despair. And that's what God was saying. Do not be dismayed. Don't fall into despair. For those dark times, let the psalmist in Psalm 46, let that be a calming reflection to your spirit. Let it speak to your spirit. Let faith be increased. And you can say in your soul, God is for me. If he's going to be for me, who can be against me? He's going to deliver me from my battle. It might not look like what you think deliverance looks like, but he will deliver you from your battle. He will keep you because he loves you. You are his child. He breathed his breath into your soul. It's because of his breath you have a soul. And he wants nothing but your best. And he is working for you. And I pray that God can continue to be that refuge in our lives. Praise God. When we look at Psalms 46, when we look at the story of Hezekiah and how he did that which was right in the sight of God compared to his father Ahaz, we are all faced with times of trouble. The enemy comes in like a flood. And sometimes that opposition can be demonic. Sometimes it can be in the form of a work environment. Someone criticizes you. Someone attacks you in your family, whatever it is. God is for you. He is with you. If it's a child at school who's being bullied, God is for you. And I thank God that Hezekiah gave us this example. He did everything he could to fortify the city. And when he did everything, he included God Almighty. He said, Lord, he knew that he couldn't do this on his own. He did what he could. And then he said, Lord, I need your protection, whatever, regardless of what the enemy is going to throw at us. We know that God is greater. Praise God. Amen. And God is our refuge. He is our strength. Allow him to be that refuge and that strength. Because those times are going to come, and there's nothing like calling upon the Lord. And then when that beautiful, sweet presence of the Lord comes in, and you feel that, just that warmth and that hush, and you know that he's with you, there's nothing like it. And what we have in that, we just want to share it with other people. There are so many people that don't know that God is their refuge and their strength. It's not just for SPC here in Sterling. It's for all. Praise God. Every soul. It's for all. But as you do what you can do to help whatever situation it is, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. And then you can just be still and know that He is God and He is working for you. Praise God. Why don't we just take just a moment and just, I'll just finish in prayer today. I just pray that God will be your just a very present help in times of trouble. And He said He would. He promised it in His word. Let Him be that strength in your life. Let Him be that source of refuge. Let Him be the one we run to. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. We give You praise and glory, for You are King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, that You would touch and bless, Lord, each one of our saints here, Lord, today, Lord, for whatever situation they may be in today, Lord, that You would touch their heart and their soul. Let them know without a shadow of a doubt that You are God and that You are with them, Lord, that You will keep them, Lord, and be their ever-present strength in times of trouble, Lord. Strengthen and uplift and encourage, Lord, by Your Spirit. We give You praise. Lord, anoint this congregation and bless this group of people in a special way, a powerful way, Lord. Let them leave, Lord, knowing without a doubt, in Jesus' name, we just give You praise and glory. Give You all praise. Thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We glorify Your name. You are wonderful. Hallelujah, Lord. Halorobosai. Halorobosatiokorobosai. Give You all glory, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to celebrate Jesus today. So why don't we all just greet our neighbors? It's Sunday morning. Praise God. Get that Sunday morning feeling going. It's a wonderful song. Sunday morning feeling. Praise God.